The scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6. We begin reading at verse 19 and we read to the end of the chapter. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is Matthew 6, verse 34. Matthew 6, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, how shall we, as children of God, face this coming year? We ought to face it with prayer and thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving in all things. Because none of us knows what lies in the future. We can make educated guesses, we can make plans, but none of us knows for sure what this year holds. Because of perceived uncertainties, we no doubt will become anxious. All of us become anxious to one degree or another over sometimes the smallest things. What kinds of things, beloved, are you and I anxious about as we face the new year? Is it questions of health or marriage or pregnancy or dating relationships or friends or loneliness or church or schooling? We can have doubts and worries about all kinds of things. But God's word to you and to me this morning, as we begin a new year, is take no thought for the morrow. Why take no thought? Because we belong to our faithful Savior. We belong to Him, body and soul, in life and in death. We have a Heavenly Father that looks down upon us and cares for us. Not because we have done enough good things to make Him care for us, but because He is our Father for Christ's sake. Take no thought for the morrow. Let's consider the text under that theme. Taking no thought for the morrow. Let's note in the first place Jesus' prohibition for anxious sinners. Secondly, the reasons why we ought not to be anxious. And lastly, how we may battle that anxiety. Taking no thought for the morrow. Jesus' prohibition, the reasons, and then lastly, how we may battle that anxiety. We need to hear this, beloved. We need to hear Jesus' words. He doesn't put these in Scripture for no reason. He doesn't say these things to His disciples for no reason. We all struggle with anxiety. We all struggle with wanting to be in control of our circumstances and wanting to order the outcomes of those circumstances the way we think they should turn out. Take no thought, Jesus says, for the morrow. Striking that Jesus would repeat that three times in this passage. He begins in verse 25, by saying, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on." Then he says it again in verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?" And then again in our text, closing off this whole section as if to put an exclamation point on what he has just said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Don't be doing that. That's what Jesus says, as a loving elder brother. Jesus is not, of course, telling us to avoid planning. He's not telling us that we need not labor. He's not condoning laziness. and carelessness. That's not what he's doing. Sometimes we can be those who distort the scripture. We make our sin look like a virtue. We say, well, Jesus tells me to take no thought for these things, and therefore I'm actually doing what Jesus commanded me to do. And so I'm sitting here and waiting for things to turn out. I don't need to plan for the future needs of myself and my family. See how much I trust in God's care. But that's not what Jesus is telling us to do. That would contradict the rest of Scripture. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 tells us, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Jesus is not telling us to be lazy. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8, we read, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Thoughtful planning and labor is a biblical thing. Jesus is not condemning that at all. Fact is, we ought to be thoughtful about providing for ourselves and our families. We ought to be diligent in the labor to which God calls us. We ought to plan for future emergencies, something as practical as having an emergency fund in our savings. We ought to save for retirement so that we are not a burden to others when we are no longer able to work. If anyone thinks that Jesus is commending them for failing to plan thoughtfully and work diligently, they are mistaken. What Jesus means when he says, take no thought for the morrow, is don't be anxious. Don't be unduly distressed or concerned for the future. And we all do that. We all do that. We see something in the future and we see that it is beyond our control. We can't do anything to change what will happen. And then we begin to worry. How will it turn out? What will happen? What if this happens? What if that happens? Maybe they'll go very badly. Now what? What will I do? We have an example of that kind of anxiety in Scripture. When the king of Syria sent his army to surround the city of Dothan, where Elisha was found, the army of the king surrounded the city, and then Elisha's servant, seeing this army surrounding the city, anxiously calls out, alas, master, how shall we do? How shall we do? What are we going to do? And many times we think the same thing. How shall I do? What shall I do now? What will I do about my work situation? These things that are beyond my control. What will I do about my debt? What will I do about all these different circumstances? And what was Elisha's answer to the servant? Children, do you remember how Elisha answered that servant? Fear not. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And God opened up the servant's eyes and he could see then all the angels of God surrounding the city, more than the army of the Syrians. Fear not. And that's what we have to tell ourselves. God is with us. Now, how we bring angels into that, that's a question, that's a difficulty, because we don't understand how angels, the angels of God, minister to God's people. But we can say this, God is with us. Fear not. Elisha could easily have said that. Fear not, God is with us. It's not wrong to have a plan to deal with different issues that we face. We ought to make plans and deal with things, but we ought not be unduly concerned or distressed. That's God's word to us as we face a new year. Take no thought. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Why does Jesus say, for tomorrow? Does he mean that, well, we may be anxious for today, but not for the things of tomorrow? No. Generally, anxiety, those for things that are uncontrolled by us, those things lie in the future. They lie tomorrow and beyond. But the fact of the matter is, we ought not be anxious about anything. No matter how far in the future, if it's 2 minutes in the future, we ought not be anxious about those things either. Be careful, says the inspired apostle in Philippians. Be anxious, the same word that's in our text. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious or distressed about anything, no matter what it is that God sends into our lives. Why not? It's one thing for Jesus to tell us, don't be anxious for tomorrow. But Jesus goes beyond that, and he gives us a number of reasons why we ought not to be anxious. Why does Jesus go into such detail? Because he wants the message to sink in deeply into our hearts. And maybe one of these examples speaks to us more loudly than another. But he wants us to hear the message. Take no thought for the morrow. We find the first reason in verse 24 of the context. Verse 24 indicates we ought not to be anxious because anxiety amounts to idolatry. Anxiety amounts to idolatry. It's idolatry because we are not trusting God to supply our needs. We are trusting in something else. If we say, for example, I will be peaceful, I will be at peace if my bank account is at this level, then I will not be anxious. But you see, now we're putting our trust in the creature. And the minute we put our trust in the creature and say, my peace is determined by this creature, then I'm taking my eyes off of God. Then I'm not trusting God to supply what I need. Jesus says, verse 24, therefore I say, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot trust God and mammon at the same time. They are mutually exclusive. The more you trust in mammon, the more you trust in the things of this world, the more we are pulling our trust away from God. That's connected to the text. We might think, well, that's totally unrelated to what Jesus says. But in fact, if you notice, in verse 25, Jesus connects verse 25 to the previous verse by saying, therefore. Verse 24, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Take no thought. It's idolatry. In the second place, anxious care is wrong because it confuses what is most important with lesser things. It confuses what is most important with lesser things. What is it that defines our lives? What is the most important thing in our lives? Is it what we eat? Is that what defines our lives? Is it what we wear? Young people, is it what we wear? Does that define our lives? Jesus says in verse 25, is not the life more than meat? And the body more than raiment? What is the most important? Is not our life in Jesus Christ the most important thing? Where does true and lasting comfort come from? Does it come from knowing that I will have enough to eat and that I have comfortable clothing to wear? Is that where my comfort comes from? Or is it from the fact that I belong to Jesus Christ, body and soul, in life and in death? What is the most important thing? What defines my life? If we are those who place more value on things than the fact that we belong to Christ, there again, we are falling into idolatry. In the third place, we should not be anxious because it fails to take into account God's love for us. It fails to take into account that we are children of our Heavenly Father. Look at verse 26 in the context. Jesus says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Did you notice what Jesus called the one who provides for those birds? He says, your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father. Your Father who is your Father for Christ's sake. Your Father who has adopted you into His family because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Your Father, if He cares for these insignificant birds, and He is also your Father, do you think that He will not care for you? He will surely care for you. We find that thought expressed so wonderfully in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Your Heavenly Father will give you all things that you stand in need of. Look at the birds. If He cares for them, if He even cares for the grass of the field and clothes the grass of the field with those beautiful flowers, do you think He won't care for you, to give you what you need for your body, to clothe you? Remember that we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. Then in the fourth place, we ought not to be anxious because it doesn't help. Jesus expresses that too in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, by being anxious, which of you can add one cubit unto his stature? It doesn't help by worrying about your stature. That's not going to make you become any taller. It doesn't help. And there's something that is as close as you can get to us, something that's beyond our control, but is ourselves. We can't make ourselves taller. Well, what about those things that are way out there that are uncontrollable? Worrying won't change them either. It won't change those circumstances. Actually, anxiety, not only does it not help, anxiety is destructive. It's destructive. In our text, Jesus says, therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus says, let tomorrow worry about itself. When we start worrying about tomorrow, we are dragging those things into today. And isn't there enough to worry about for today? Sufficient for the day are the worries thereof. There's enough things to worry about today. Why double the load by worrying also about tomorrow? Anxiety makes no sense from all those different angles. And yet, Jesus tells us this because this is our struggle, beloved. We all struggle with anxiety. And that's why Jesus, talking to his disciples, says too, verse 30, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith, how little faith I have when I fail to trust that God will care for me. How shall we battle anxiety in our lives? Well, Jesus gives us some pointers also in the context by telling us to seek first the kingdom. Verse 33, but seek ye first. This is right in the middle of the context of taking no thought, of telling us not to be anxious, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. By replacing anxiety about tomorrow, if we have anxiety about tomorrow, set that aside and replace it with a desire for God's kingdom today. Seek ye first the kingdom. Desire God's kingdom today. Don't think about tomorrow and worry about tomorrow, anticipating the evil of tomorrow. But seek by God's grace to do His will today, what He calls us to do today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek today that perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Call upon Him for that righteousness we need in order to know that we have God's favor. That imputed righteousness. Seek first His righteousness and seek His kingdom. Seek by God's grace to be obedient to the King, especially when He calls us to serve Him in times of difficulty. But if we are going to do that, beloved, we can take that from the context as well. If we are going to do that, we need to be those who pray. In the very same chapter, Jesus taught His disciples to pray after this manner. therefore pray ye. And then he teaches us to pray. Isn't that the case, beloved? Don't you find that when we are most anxious, that is in those times when we are least in prayer? And it's amazing how when we go to God in prayer, in the midst of anxiety, when we go to Him, how God uses that to settle our consciences, to settle us and to give us peace in our hearts, to reaffirm God is in control. He is taking care of us. God uses prayer. Prayer doesn't change God, but God uses prayer to change us. The inspired apostle in that verse in Philippians 4, verse 6, where he says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials? The words of the hymn says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there, casting all your care. That's what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And then in our prayers, we add thanksgiving. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, thanking God for present mercies, for the cares of this day. Thanking God for those mercies that were new this morning. Because then we will also know and be reminded that those same mercies, the mercies that God gave us today to deal with the concerns of today, those mercies will be new tomorrow. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. They surely will be new tomorrow. And so with prayer and thanksgiving on our lips, we leave the issue with God. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean that by prayer and supplication now all these burdens all of a sudden disappear and we won't have any weight upon us. The burdens will still be there. But God will sustain us in those burdens. When Jesus went to the cross, He prayed to God. The burden was still there. He still sweat great drops of blood in the garden. But He also said, not my will, but thine be done. God doesn't necessarily remove the burdens. But He does assure us that He is using those things for our good. He does assure us that He cares for us as He cares, more than He cares for the flowers of the field, more than He cares for the birds of the air. God knows our needs from beginning to end, from top to bottom. God knows our needs. And long before tomorrow comes, He will already have set in motion, as it were, those mercies that we will need tomorrow. They will be there waiting for us. Take no thought for the morrow. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for that comfort that Thou dost give to us, that Thou carest as a Father. Thou dost pity Thy children, and Thou wilt surely give us all things we stand in need of as we face this coming year. May it be so. May we see that and rejoice in Thy care for us in this year, in all the circumstances we face. May we know Thou art with us, and that nothing then can work against us if Thou art for us. Bless us now and keep us, we pray. Forgive our sins and lead us by Thy grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.